All right, let me go straight to the lines. And Themba Kubeka, a member of Gun Owners South Africa, joins me now. Themba, thank you very much, sir, for joining us at this time of the day. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Aubrey, and your team for having me. And a good morning to your listeners as well.
Thank you very much, sir. So in June, we heard of what some called a groundbreaking decision by the Constitutional Court, where a decision that some law, and that's really why I'm going to need your assistance here, that certain laws which used to govern the ownership of guns and the licensing thereof are no longer applicable. And I'm suggesting here that in the past, it appears that those who held a gun license did not have to fear the prospects of losing that license as a result of not having renewed that license. It appears it's a different regime now. Please explain that to us, Themba.
All right. In the old law, before the Firearm Control Act of 2000, the old law, when you were licensed for a lifetime.
Yeah.
There were very few occasions where you could lose your license, either for medical reason, obviously, if you certified medically or mentally unstable, the court would find a way around to relieve you of your firearm.
Yeah.
And the license itself had no had an infinite life.
Yeah.
It was your license for life. Whereas now, under section, well, in the new act, there's different sections. For instance, your self-defense, which is section 13, your firearm license is valid for 5 years. You have section 14, which is for restricted firearm. That license is valid for 2 years.
Yeah.
You have section 15, which is for occasional sporting and hunting. I think that's 10 years. And section 16, which is for dedicated, is also 10 years, yes.
So fundamentally, Themba, if I could break it down and maybe simplify it, what we have here is a change in the law where at some point, if you had a gun license, you had a gun license for life. What has now changed is that there are certain periods subject to renewal that you have to renew your license for whatever, you know, for whatever category of gun that you own. Now you have to renew your license, as opposed to the past where you could keep your license and therefore your ownership, your legal ownership of your gun in perpetuity. What are the problems that are being experienced then with regards to this?
Well, it really, it's just much of a muchness, really. I mean, imagine I forget to renew my license today, and I wake up tomorrow, I'm suddenly not, compliant. I'm now an illegal, I'm in illegal possession of a firearm. What made me competent yesterday, that makes me incompetent today to own that same firearm when I'm the same person.
Yeah.
For your vehicle license, or your driver's license, let's talk about your driver's license. Only the card expires, but the license itself doesn't expire. So you go in and renew every now and again. But for some reason, government has felt that it should be different with firearms, which is still property as well. So now there's all these scare tactics to get people to hand in their firearms, blah, 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 and that is that is where we came in, and you have this big victory that you're talking about us celebrating now.
So basically, my understanding is that you have 90 days to renew your license before its expiry date. Yeah. Why wouldn't you then renew your license within that period of 90 days? I mean, isn't that ample time for people to do so? And is the fact that if you don't renew your license, there needs to be some sort of a penalty, and that is to lose your license and therefore lose the privilege of owning a gun? I mean, I'm trying to understand what the problem is there.
Well, Okay. That in itself, actually, that whole 90-day story is a problem. First of all, because of the capacity and the incompetence within the SAPS. By capacity, I mean they don't have the manpower. You have one DFO, which is your designated firearms officer per police station. If that person is not around, no one else can assist you.
Yeah.
And you go there, you're told that the person is on study leave or maternity leave or whatever. You know, it could be any reason that they're not around. Another reason, you could be working overseas within that 90 days.
Yeah.
You could be in hospital. There's so many reasons. And what we're saying, you speak of having a penalty.
Yeah.
Maybe let's have a penalty. It would have made sense, probably. Okay, we don't want that even now. But I'm thinking it would have probably made sense if we were told, maybe pay in, you know, a penalty fee of this much because of late renewal.
Yeah.
As you do with your vehicle license. But no, that's not the case. You now have to lose your property, which you paid money for. It's not something that you picked off pre. You paid good money for this.
Well, after the judgment by the Constitutional Court in June, we were told by Brigadier Vishnu Naidu that they welcomed this Constitutional Court judgment. And one of the things that he's quoted as having said is that we welcome the judgment and we are calling on all those who haven't renewed their firearm licenses to bring them in. If we find them, they will be arrested, said Brigadier Naidu. What is the status at the moment? Do you have to still hand in your firearm if you haven't renewed your license? And I do want to talk about the different scenarios of people who now, I suppose, technically are outside of the regime as far as licensing is concerned. But what is the status now with regards to handing in your firearms or not, the background being, of course, that Constitutional Court judgment?
All right. You'll be aware that GOSA successfully interdicted the SAPS after that. And I'll give you 7 points. Point one from that successful interdict was that SAPS is prohibited from collecting surrendered firearms. Point two, the main application has been postponed to normal role. Declared that expired license validities be extended for people that can show good cause, as we spoke earlier. Point four, licenses must be allowed to apply for renewal. So Pathan's directive prohibiting renewal has been invalidated. The IT system of CFR must be repaired to accept late renewals. SAPS must issue a directive to repair IT systems at CFR, which is the Central Firearms Registry. And lastly, applicants shall be deemed to be in lawful possession of their firearms.
So let me understand. The Constitutional Court made a particular judgment whose, I suppose, that judgment's consequence was to then have police arrest anybody who has failed to renew their license. And in June, we were told by the brigadier that everybody has to hand in their license. You're saying that in the interim, something else happened and GOSA basically interdicted that decision by the Constitutional Court. Am I understanding you correctly?
That is 100% correct.
So everything that the Constitutional Court said in June is no longer applicable. I'm not really sure. I'm not understanding.
Well, the same court ruled against that. I think it was on the 27th of July.
Yes, the Constitutional Court ruled against its own decision.
Yeah.
Okay, that's strange. Okay, and ultimately what that means is that if you were outside of the renewal period, in other words, you didn't renew your license, you don't have to now hand in your gun?
No, not at all. Keep your gun. It's your property. Go and apply for, show good cause, as I said, and apply for renewal.
Okay. Yeah. And this was a directive by the Constitutional Court?
Yeah, boy.
All right. So someone has the green license, the old law license. In other words, when the license
before the FCA.
Yeah, before the new law. Yeah, the FCA. I think it's the Firearms Control Act. Forgive my ignorance around the names of the laws. But there's the green license, where you held the license in perpetuity, right? And under which conditions does that license now become invalid? Does it mean that if you now have the new license under the Firearms Control Act, which requires you to have that license only for 5 years, renewable, does that mean that the old green license's validity falls away, or do you keep that validity? What is the status?
You keep the validity of the green license. The green license trumps the white license.
Okay.
Whether or not you were coerced into moving over to the white license, if that same firearm was licensed under the green license, it's still licensed, because that license doesn't doesn't expire.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I have an email here from somebody who says, I had the green license, lost it because it was in my wallet, but I had already done the application for the new, I think, white license. I did not renew my white license for whatever reasons. Which license is now applicable? Because I'm led to understand that the moment you have the new white license, then the validity of the green license then falls away.
That is incorrect. That would mean the SAPS is in contempt of court, because the ruling was clear that it was about the white licenses. Any license that was issued prior to that, it could be the stamp on your old ID or the green card, it remains valid for life. So you should just go to your DFO and request a reprint of your green license. And if they refuse, just ask to make an affidavit and send that through to GOSA. And then when we go next to court, it will be part of the case.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Are you a firearms owner or firearm owner? Do you understand the various regimes around licensing and gun ownership? I'm speaking to Themba Kubega of Gun Owners South Africa. It appears that after the Constitutional Court judgment in June, there was another ruling by the Constitutional Court as a result of the intervention of Gun Owners South Africa that changed the whole, I suppose, agreement or the whole ruling or judgment of the Constitutional Court, where you don't have to hand in your gun license. Have you handed in your gun as a result of that call or of that coercion, as some people might say? Give me a call, 011-883-0702. Perhaps, Themba, you could explain to us, if you had handed in your firearm, can you go and claim it back?
Certainly. That's exactly what you should be doing.
And
if you want to wake up tomorrow, have a firearm in your face by some thug that broke into your house, and only to recognize that firearm is yours.
011-883-0702, Themba Kubega, Gun Owners South Africa member. So if it's rather confusing, I suppose, Themba, for those who don't know the different laws that have come in and gone out and so forth. The big debate, of course, these days is the issue of gun ownership and how some people are suggesting it contributes to the murders in this country. Where do you guys stand as far as that debate is concerned? Some people are saying that all of these laws or an effort to try and decrease the number of guns that are out there in public, and therefore the murders that are committed as a result of gun ownership and so forth? Where do you guys stand in that debate?
There were murders in the world before guns even existed, before the Chinese even discovered, mistakenly discovered gunpowder. So I don't see where that comes in. You must remember, if people are going to commit murder or suicide for that matter, they will use any tool that is at their disposal.
So anything
could kill you.
So, you know, for example, in the United States, almost every 2 months we hear of a mass shooting, and there is that whole debate between gun lobbyists and anti-gun ownership groups there. And I'm using that as a case in point for that debate. People are saying that it is precisely because of guns that we're constantly seeing people being killed en masse in that way. And if we don't want to see a similar situation in South Africa, perhaps we should be thinking about a gun-free society. And then you have the situation here in South Africa where people are arguing that part of the reason why it's so easy to have these cash-in-transit heists that we're seeing almost every week is precisely because of the availability of guns, the easy availability of guns. How do you respond to that?
I'll say that would be a whole lot of contradictions in one. Firstly, the guns that are used in CIT heists are not the guns that usually you and I would buy over the counter and go through the strenuous processes. These are guns that either come into the country legally or guns that are lost by the powers that be, and they end up in crimes. For the better part of this argument, let's talk about Section 13.
Yeah.
Where most people would just get a handgun, you know. If we're talking about CITs, we're talking about people using AK-47s. Half the time fully automatic, very difficult to even get a semi-automatic license for legal purposes.
Yeah.
Now, how do maybe, for instance, a case of guys that are arrested on the side of the road with five automatic fully automatic weapons, how do we then attribute that to legal firearm ownership? Because people want to own firearms for self-defense. And besides, if you say people should not, if you take away the right from people to defend themselves, you making them more vulnerable to thugs who will continue to bring in firearms through our porous borders and many other means. So it really doesn't answer the question.
Let me speak to Solly in Johannesburg. Solly, hi.
Good evening. Good morning, Off.
Yeah, go for it, Solly. What's on your mind?
My question is short. I attended in my firearm at a local police station with a DFO, and months later, when following the issue around this matter, when it went to court, the twisting and turning and so on, I went back to the local police station. I was interested in reclaiming my firearm, and the officer in charge of the process said he will phone me as soon as he gets a reply from the national office or the national firearm office of the SAPS, and he never did. And I'm still interested in that. And now the problem I have is that members of the public, with the information that we're getting from the gentlemen in the studio, when we put for those interested in reclaiming their firearms because they had these green licenses, which he said that they trump the white license. When we go back there, I want to make a simple flowchart in my mind. When we get back there, the local police station, what do we say to the firearms officer?
Yeah.
Where do we start?
All right, Temba.
Okay. You actually still have the time to go back and claim your firearm. Firstly, if you still have a copy of your license. However, should the particular DFO refuse, please get them to sign an affidavit with all the reasons that they're giving you. And please join GOSA and assist us in, you know, obviously, when we go to court, we need funds to take the government on. So from as little as 100 rand or even a donation of 10 rand now and again, those go a long way. So become a member of GOSA, and GOSA will assist you with that. We've got a great team of attorneys that are assisting the public in general, you know, the firearm-owning public, and we will assist in that regard.
So basically, he needs to go to the police station, speak to the, what do you call him, the D what?
DFO.
The DFO.
Firearms Office.
Right. And then ask them to give him his the copy of... okay, his property, his gun, but obviously he has been refused that in the past. What he must then do is get the reasons why the DFO is not giving him his gun back, and then hand that over with you guys at GOSA, and then you guys will fight the battle for him.
It is that simple. I mean, even before he got it, if anyone who applies for a firearm license is refused, you have, you know, the law says you should be given valid reasons as to why. So you can either appeal or reapply. So even in this case, same applies.
Yeah.
And yes, you are correct. Come through to GOSA, we'll assist.
Solly, will you be able to do so?
Yeah, I will be able to do so, but the DFO in addition added that the serial number books for all the firearms in the area, some of the books, the national office hasn't returned them back to the police station. So probably you couldn't find me in the remaining books.
Sure.
So the register is in bits and pieces.
It sounds to me, Solly, and Temba seems to have alluded to that when he read those seven interventions that need to be made as a result of the second court case that went with regards to this issue, that there are serious administrative capacity issues with the South African police. Temba, would that be correct?
Yes, some even deliberate.
Well, expand on that. What does that mean?
Some even deliberate in the sense that the SAPS went and sabotaged their own IT systems to not allow late renewals when that shouldn't be the case. Hence, in one of the points I told you that once we made the court aware, they were ordered to sort the IT systems out, you know.
Somebody is sending me an SMS here to say that there is a concerted effort by the authorities to disarm the people. What is your feeling about that? Is this a conspiracy theory, or is this something that could be taken seriously?
We can debate that, till Shiloh, but the fact remains that there is clearly a system that is saying, the general population should be disarmed. But as to whether this is deliberate or people are following the law or people are incompetent, really, I cannot say.
So, Solly, will you then go through that process? I'd be interested just from your call to see how successful you were, and will you get in touch with GOSA and Temba Kubeka?
Yeah, I will get in touch with GOSA.
Okay.
The other thing is that I don't have a photocopy of my license.
Yeah.
Because I handed it in together with my father.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. What then, Temba? I mean, what does he do in that situation?
He has to ask for both of them. It's all in his name. I mean, for instance, if a firearms dealer brings in firearms cash from wherever the suppliers are overseas, it takes the CFR forever to actually move the license to from the supplier to the dealer. So it should be the same time. It takes too long for them to remove it from your name, because even their IT systems have been sabotaged to a state where they're rendered inoperable.
Solly, I'm hoping that, and by the way, Temba will give us their contact details, so you stay listening so that you can be able to get in touch with them and so forth. So, Temba, again, just for clarity's sake, if I had a green firearms license, the one that went on in perpetuity, and then I applied for the new white license, and I got it. Yeah, I got the white license. So in other words, administratively, I have two licenses. I have the old green license and I have the new white license. I did not renew my license for the white license. I am told that the police are saying that the old green license fell away. In other words, it disappeared when you got the new license. Now, in the case of Solly, where is he going to get that information from if the police themselves are saying that that old green license fell away and you are now in contravention of the law in terms of the new law with regards to the white license? Where is he going to get help from? Because it's the very same police officers that are going to be saying to him, sorry, bruh, you know, you've lost your old license. You didn't renew your new license. You are now in limbo, as it were, therefore hand in your gun.
Okay. Let me ask you a question to answer your question.
Sure.
If somebody does something to you and they're in contempt of court, where do you go?
Well, I don't know. I'd probably escalate the matter to
the court.
Yeah?
To the court.
Yeah.
You know, because if they're in contempt of court, we'll then go to the court and say, must remember, police can't just make up laws as they go. They have to enforce laws which, as per our constitution, provided by the court. So if the police are failing to apply what the court has ordered, then we go back to the court. You know, when you give orders to your children, and the one child doesn't do the right thing, maybe the other child will come back to you as the parent, say, Daddy, CPO is not doing 1, 2, and 3. Then you as the parent will deal with it, right?
I hear that. I'm always worried about these kinds of analogies. But okay, Temba, so what you're basically saying to me is that all in the seven interventions that you read was that the commissioner has now given a directive to the various designated firearms officers. What is the directive that he's given with regards to the handing in of firearms by firearm owners? What have the police themselves received as a directive with regards to this?
Well, the police, they were part of the case. I mean, this was a case by Golsa versus the SAPS. So they should have received it. We've seen a small message with some of these points that have been sent through to, we don't know if it has reached station level yet. There were some grammatical errors in it. For instance, the one line that says licenses will be deemed legal, it says on their message, it says deemed illegal. So I'm sure they will fix that. We've brought it to their attention as well. So So they should have fixed that and communicated. We cannot talk to, they have the infrastructure to talk to all of their branches.
So basically at the moment, DFOs, and I'm asking this question because ultimately Solly, myself, anybody that finds themselves in this sort of precarious position needs to ultimately speak to the DFOs. There's a possibility that the DFOs themselves might not be aware of the case that GOSA has taken the police and won the case about. You're saying to me that they might not be aware of this?
There's many things that some DFOs, remember, in every line of work, there's people who are dedicated and they're up to speed.
Yes.
And they love what they do and they serve the people, especially as public servants.
Yes.
And then there's people that just sit and wait for things to come to
sure.
them. And sometimes they don't even read communication. They just, you know, thumbsuck and, you know, apply whatever laws. There's many things that some DFOs or police officers in general are still not up to speed with. I mean, there's one of those being the green licenses. Many people were coerced into shifting to the white license when the law was clear that white licenses were not affected by the change.
Yeah.
So it was only people that had to that got their training and got their licensing after the inception of the new law that, you know, have to heed that call of the new law. But the people who had the license prior to that, they were untouched.
What are the police supposed to do with firearms that are handed in to them? I mean, I've seen pictures, I suppose, in the past where some sort of amnesty was given by the law, the police, for people to hand in their firearms, especially those that were illegally, that had those guns illegally in their possession, and they, you know, there'd be that whole dramatic thing where the guns would be crushed and so forth. What is there a law that clearly defines what happens to a gun that has been handed in, especially a gun that used to come from a legal owner, but because of some of these issues that have been raised around take your gun back or not taking your gun back, what do they do with those guns? Or is there a law that says this is what they need to follow as procedure when they hand in those guns?
Well, I'm not sure all their internal procedures, but your question is what should they do?
Yeah.
When a gun is turned in, they shouldn't take it because they would be in contempt of court. That it's as clear as that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't take that firearm.
Yeah.
If there is, and when there is an amnesty that is announced, as the last one was, it would come with a clear directive. As for instance, if it says they need to be handed in for destruction, then they should do that. Put it in the SAP 13. Collect all those that are coming for a specific date where they'll be destroyed. And then that's what will happen. But right now, the interim order that they should not collect.
There seems to be a philosophical difference between those who fight for the right to own guns and the judgment that was given by Justice Johan Vroneman at the Constitutional Court, who said that owning a firearm was not a fundamental right, but a privilege regulated by law under the Firearms Control Act. And I suppose those who want to own firearms and want to own firearms understand it as a right. Help me understand the differences between those two ideas. Those who feel that this is a right, and the law, according to Justice Johan Vroneman, says that it's a privilege that is regulated by the Firearms Control Act. Help me understand that.
Well, I guess for each person, the interpretation might differ. But let's talk about self-defense, not just a firearm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about self-defense for starters. Is it your right to defend yourself, or is it a privilege? Maybe let's start from there. So, you know, maybe there's this academic way of looking at it, but if somebody is going to attack me with a knife, I'd be happy if I have a knife to level the playing ground and try and defend myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in this day and age, the weapon of choice for people attacking you would be a firearm. So I'd be happier having a firearm than not having one.
All right. And again, of course, those debates continue, and one day we'll have that conversation around the preference of owning a gun versus not owning a gun, and how much that contributes to a violent society or not. I mean, that's a totally different debate altogether. But what you're saying to me is that if you had a gun license, whether it was green or whether it was white, if you failed to renew that license, that does not now make you an illegal firearm owner. What you need to be doing right now is what?
What you need to be doing is applying for renewal. You made a mistake by including the green license, as I said, and I will repeat. The green license does not expire. So it's only the white license.
Why would I, if I did have a green license, but as you said, coerced into applying for the white license, why would I even bother?
Why would you bother for?
Why would I bother to renew a license? Why would I bother to apply for the renewal of a license if I had a green license, whether I've now lost it or not? Why would I bother to renew the license if I had the green license?
You don't have to renew something.
Sorry, Temba, I'm losing you there. I'm sorry, man. Yeah, say again?
I'm saying you do not have to renew because it doesn't expire.
Yes.
If you still have a copy, you're good to go. The law has said that. The court has said that all green licenses are good to go. This is one of the most frequently asked questions on our Facebook page.
Yes.
If you've got a green license or a stamp on your ID, that is valid for life. So you don't have to renew that. Even if you had been coerced somehow to get onto the white one and the white one expired, the green one kicks back in.
Okay. And let's say you have lost that and you don't have a copy or some sort of evidence to show that you had that license, you would then go back to the police to ask for a copy of that?
100% correct. That is a fact. We've had people who've had their green license reissued.
Yeah.
By competent and helpful DFOs.
Okay. But then if you never had the green license, but you've forgotten for whatever reason to reapply, you're saying to me that now, tomorrow, you go to the DFO and you demand to reapply. Am I understanding you correctly?
The court says, look, you cannot demand. Technically, you are in the wrong.
Yeah.
But you need to prove, you know, as it says, you need to show good cause. For instance, you were away, you were working overseas for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And it expired 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could have done because you need to be physically here.
Yeah.
It's not that you send an email or call somebody and say, this is about to expire, please renew for me. You need to be there.
Yeah.
In person. Yeah. So, show good cause. Speak to your lawyer about good cause. Speak to GOSA about good cause. Find out what good cause is. And then show that in your reapplication, in your renewal application. And, wait for the process to go through.
All right, I've got a question here from a listener who says, I inherited 5 firearms from my uncle in 2005. The firearms were transferred into my name through my uncle's estate. Therefore, I'm the owner, but without a license. I arranged that the firearms be stored at a legal arms dealer at a fee per firearm per month. I've been paying since for storage. I last year decided to rather have the arms destroyed. Now the arms dealer says they can't hand me back the firearms to be destroyed by the police because I do not carry a valid license to be in possession of the firearms. I have to arrange that the executor of the estate transfers the firearms into the dealer's name so they can destroy the firearms. I'm in a catch-22 situation. I can't find an executor. Oh, I can't find the executor. What can I do?
I think I'm not in a position to give the legal advice in this particular matter, but I think come on to the GOSA page. There's a lot of experts there on Facebook, which is Gun Owner South Africa, GOSA in short, and you will receive all the help you need in that regard. I mean, there's many professionals in the field, legal professionals who will assist you.
All right. Okay, so if you can, perhaps, Temba, then assist us with Gun Owners South Africa's details, and you say that you've got to pay a certain fee, eh?
Look, you don't have to pay a certain fee.
Yeah.
We would appreciate if people join as paying members, because all the work that is done by GOSA costs money, going to courts and all those things. But you can be somebody who just donates from time to time and ask questions. Many questions will be answered for free on the page. So
yeah,
it's not a must. We're not going to say no. You must remember, GOSA is not about members or individuals. It's about the right to bear arms.
Yeah. And so what are, and where are you stationed? Give me about your, tell me about your footprint. Where are you physically as an organization?
Well, currently we, I'd say everywhere. The footprint is across South Africa. I mean, you're talking to me in Joburg. The people who put you through to me are sitting in Cape Town. So we are everywhere. We are online, so we prefer keeping business online so that we're reachable to everyone.
Okay, and so for example, Solly would probably want to be assisted by yourself. Where would they get in touch with you in that regard?
Is Solly in Johannesburg?
I think he is in Johannesburg, yeah.
Okay. My cell phone number I can give out.
Okay.
081.
Yeah.
261.
Yep.
4500.
Okay. And do you have a Facebook page or some sort of email address that people can get in touch with you on?
Okay. The website would be gosaonline.com.
Yep.
And the Facebook page would be Gun Owner South Africa.
Yeah. And that's it, yeah?
That's it.
All right.
Get in touch with directly there.
Temba Kubega, thank you very much for joining us. Temba is a member of Gun Owners South Africa. Much appreciated for your time. Yeah. Are you any wiser? Give me a call and let me know whether or not you're comfortable with the situation. And I suppose it has a lot to do with administrative issues in the police service. But are you comfortable? If you're a gun owner, are you comfortable with the current situation around the licenses that you need to have? I mean, just that WhatsApp message that I've just received now about the fact that this particular person wanted even to have his guns destroyed. He can't have them destroyed because, it sounds like a nightmare. So, but give me a call, 011-883-0702, and on SMS 31702, would love to hear your thoughts about these and any other issues that you might want to raise.